live now.
Capital 263.
Jeez. It's been too long. Far too long.
Stop being dramatic.
And we're back. I'll definitely be the dramatic. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Tech Knowledge, a podcast about tech, nerdy stuff, and more nerdy stuff. Brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, and the best, I was about to say political network, but no, it's actually the podcast network, Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it, in a free Zimbabwe. Welcome, everyone. I'm sorry, that's the last comment on me. But I hope everyone's doing well. We're definitely back. We're back for good now. We're sorry, people. We've been gone for very, very long.
Yeah, we're writing exams. But now we're done with it. And
we're freelancers.
We graduated from high school. I think that's the proper term to say.
Yes, exactly. We graduated.
Yeah,
people keep saying we're finished.
We graduated.
Yeah.
We're moving on to a bigger level.
Yeah, exactly. We take the baton and we give it to the youngsters and be like, yes, we're done.
Yeah, but anyways, my name is Gary Tindai Manuel.
The
co-host. And yeah, I'm probably the reason why you're listening to this.
I'm glad you've gone back to being the co-host.
No, the host.
You said it yourself. But yes, and wow, there's so much that has happened. It's hard to even like, where do we begin, Gary?
Yeah,
do we start at home? Do we go straight for the jugular, iPhone X? What do we do? Like, there's so much.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Like, we're actually in a weird position since a lot has happened in our absence, like the launch of the iPhone X,
the
Pixel 2. Yeah, so much has happened.
The Note 8, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're actually back now that I'm correcting you again. Yep, yeah, technology is actually back. And of course, let's just go into it. I'm going to start. Pixel 2, if you don't know what the Pixel is, it is Google's phone, basically. It's Google making their phone. They are competing with the iPhone, and they make a phone. It's called the Pixel. They get people to make it for them. They make the software Android. Now, the Pixel 2 is the second version of it. The first version came out last year. And it's having issues. Like, big issues.
Which already. Issues? No, wait. I feel like the display.
Yes, it's the display mainly.
Well, I feel like they did that for a reason. So the Pixel 2 is having problems with the display. The display is not up to par with other displays that are currently there on the market.
Wait, are you talking about the bezels, the way it looks, or like the actual screen?
The actual screen.
Okay.
So
that's another story altogether.
Yeah, it's right. Right. How do I basically say this without sounding too scientific? It's not capable of showing as many colors as other screens currently on the market. You know, with Samsung and with its OLED Super AMOLED display, with iPhone recently adopting OLED. And
Is the Super AMOLED better or the OLED better? I always confuse them.
I personally prefer AMOLED.
Oh, so it's one of those things where like you can have a preference. It's not like objectively better.
Yes, no, like sometimes they do like, well, they all have benefits and drawbacks, I guess.
Okay.
But for colors, I personally prefer
OLED.
Super AMOLED.
Yeah. OLED's good with blacks, mainly.
Exactly. Like, it's so good on bringing out bright colors
and
dark colors.
The contrast.
Exactly. The contrast ratios are good.
Now, going back to the Pixel 2, the main problem it had was this thing, burn-in, basically. So, if you've ever had a phone, especially TVs, the old ones especially, you'd see, like, if you leave a certain picture on the screen for too long, it kind of stays there, even though the picture would go.
Yeah.
So the Pixel 2 is having that issue, especially with, at the bottom, the three buttons, the triangle, the circle, and the square. You know, the home. Do they even have names now? Like, the names keep changing. Like, do those buttons have names?
Wait, let me check on my phone. They have a name.
They have a name?
I turned it off.
I only know, like, it's a circle, it's a triangle, it's a square. Like, or if you own one of the older devices.
Yeah, they actually have a name.
It'll be like back home, and back in the day it used to be options or menu or something. Now I've
home
no
touch buttons. That's actually what they.
That's called. What they're called, home touch buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those ones at the bottom of your screen. What happens is that they don't move at all. Like, you can use the phone forever, they pretty much won't move. And because of that, when you're using the phone and like it has to get minimized because you're watching a video or something, the burning on it remains. And scary enough, like sometimes you have a background picture behind it that stays on for too long. Yeah, and sometimes there might be some background pictures you might not want to show, and they will stick.
Oh, wow.
We're already seeing that 2 weeks in. Burn-in is normal if it's like a year, 2 years. But if it's a week...
Well, Google said they're going to address this with the newer software update. But from the get-go, I actually knew that.
I love how you said that in a such a depressing way, like, oh, well...
Yeah, but then from the get-go,
I was really hyped for the Pixel 2.
Marcus Brownie, what's his name? Marcus Brownie, Austin Evans, all those guys already addressing these issues that it's there. You know, that's why people are opting for the $600 Pixel 4, because for its price range and what it's offering, it's a really great phone.
But
for the XL and what it's offering, it's not really good, I guess.
Especially since for the screen, internals, the internals of both phones are exactly the same.
Yeah.
No difference. And, well, I mean, I think that's a good thing on one hand, because it means that if you take you don't have to take the bigger phone to have the better phone. But on the other hand, it's like, look, the screen is bigger. This phone is a bit more expensive. Surely there needs to be justification why it's more expensive.
Yeah, but one good thing I like about the Pixel is that it's actually optimized for Android.
Yeah, that's definitely like, one of the biggest advantages.
All Android phones run Android, right? But then Android runs faster on the Pixel because Google knows what they're dealing with. They're dealing with their own hardware and software, so they actually tweak it. But then, if you're in the market for these phones, it's better to get the Pixel, the normal Pixel 2, than getting the Pixel XL, because if you're in the $8 range, $800 range, now you have many options. I mean, obviously
iPhone 8 becomes an option as well.
Yeah, obviously the Pixel might have the highest DxO rating for a camera, but then at the end of the day, it's only like 4 or 5 points above the regular cameras.
So it's minimal, basically, the kind of gap it has with other phones.
Yeah, it's minimal, but it's significant, but it's also minimal at the same time, because a regular average person is not going to be able to say, because, you know, like a normal person, let's say a normal person that just uses Snapchat, Instagram
and the like,
they're just going to be okay with the difference. Obviously, the difference is
noticeable.
Yeah, but then you're still using something that's going to be good. Let's say you get the S8, for instance. It's still a great camera.
That's right, yeah, it is.
But then, you know, it's not going to be like, oh my God, no, I have to change phones. But
So look, it's your choice. You get the best camera in the world and the picture you take stay on your screen forever, or you get, you know, a slightly worse camera, then, you know, the screen doesn't, like, stick.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the Pixel 2. Oh, last thing before we finish. I love the color names. The color names are fantastic.
Kind of blue.
Kind of blue. I love that. I love that. Kind of blue, just black, stuff like that.
Just black, kind of blue. Panda.
Basically trying to mock Apple, because Apple likes giving these, like, you know, artistic names. Rose pink.
Yeah, and did you hear the news about the next Samsung smartphone that it's basically Samsung is planning on making their own Samsung 10 or X.
What the fuck? Wasn't the S8 supposed to be that? Because to me, like, when I think of the three phones that are competing right now, it's the Galaxy S8, the Pixel 2, and the... But you get the point. And the iPhone X, the iPhone 10, actually.
Phones that are competing. Yeah. Oh, with me, I would remove the S8 and put the LG V30.
The V30 as well? Yeah, the V30 has been very promising so far.
Yeah, it's a very competitive phone.
Especially since it confirmed it's coming out with... It should be coming with Oreo out of the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, exactly. Like,
and apparently a lot of people are not going to be getting Oreo, but it's cool.
That's another story. Like, it's becoming a whole situation concerning Android and updating and... Google are trying to fix it. They're really trying to fix it. They've talked about how they're going to improve Android and make it, you know, how they want to get right into the software, the hardware, and make sure that whatever company is making the phone, they get to update Android by themselves. Like, we spoke about it when the Android A came out.
Yeah.
And they need to do that. Because
hopefully that's going to work out great. And, well, Samsung copying iPhone.
What are they going to call it?
Wow, X2. The rumors is going to be Samsung X, actually. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they have a project name for it. I forgot. I don't know.
It's probably some.
I don't
weird
know.
Name.
Some butterfly or something. I don't know. Well, I don't have internet, so I can't read.
Samsung
no, but really,
butterfly.
Like they actually named it Project Butterfly or something.
Wow.
Some funny name like that.
That is so artistic.
They always do that with their phone. Like, essay to a project name. Yeah.
Like basically what Windows did with. Well, they still do
Scorpio.
It with the Scorpio.
Yeah.
Vista had some dumb name like Blue Horn or something. What's up, 7? I don't remember.
And
but yeah.
Yeah, before we start, people, please do not buy the Xbox X.
The Xbox One X.
One X. It's the X to me.
The Xbox One X that comes in a box. Comes in one box.
Anyways, do not buy the Xbox
oh,
One
dear.
X.
What did Microsoft do to you, Gary?
No, I actually have a very valid reason behind this.
Okay. What is your
it's
valid
both
reason?
Logical. It's actually both logical and very reasonable.
Oh,
so
okay.
At the end of the day.
Ah, reason. Logical. You're actually coming back to reason now.
Ah,
this is fantastic. I'm loving the
but
change.
But no, really. Yeah, but really.
Okay, yeah, what's
like
the reason?
Speaking,
what's the reason?
All right. First of all, is that most households don't even have 1440p displays.
Yes,
and you're
going to
be
back.
Even though at 1080, it's going to be upscaled on the Xbox pre, making a better picture.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that's happening is that the Xbox One X versions of games are going to be large. They are going to have large textures.
We've heard about that. We've heard about that. That like, was it Forza? Forza was about 60 gig for just the textures.
That's actually one of the smaller games.
Jesus Christ.
Right, so what's happening is that with the Xbox, let's say for a base game, let's say Gears of War. Gears of War is like, what, 70 gigs alone. Then the 4K textures are 80 gigs.
Oh, just the textures, not the
just
game.
The textures. So oh, that's yeah. Well, that's creating a problem considering that the Xbox One X is only has a terabyte of storage. So people are now complaining that they're going to have to cut down on their games library because of this. I mean, so they play a game, clock it, then uninstall it, because you can't have more than 8 or 7 games at once.
Okay, so basically what's happening here is that we're having video games that are so big with screen. The Xbox One X wants to have screens that are so large, like 1440p and everything, that people at home can't play.
Yeah.
So in other words, this is basically consoles trying to become PCs and failing dismally.
Yeah, basically that's what's happening.
Well, at least they tried. Let's just give them for trying. Like, so they tried to come to us, but then, you know.
So now people are in the middle of debating. Like, I follow Pretty Good Gaming on
YouTube. Yes, fantastic.
So they were talking about it. Then they were saying, I don't know. No, like, I think it's more logical for Microsoft at this point to kind of go back, you know, to physical disc. I don't know. No, like, a large part Ooh. Of the game comes as a physical disc. I don't know. Like, they're supposed to make more physical disc sales now.
Since it's like, too big.
It's too
to be
big.
Downloaded. Yeah, it's... I mean, I guess so. Because, I mean, back in the day when games were like... Remember when games were 4 gigabytes? Like, games used to be literally 4 to 8 gigabytes.
Even 2 gigs. You see?
Yeah.
And now...
Like, a 12 gig game would be big. I remember back in the day, you'd be like... Oh my gosh, that game
Gears
was more
before
than 10
used to
gig.
Be big because it was 10 gigs.
That's
now,
right. Yeah.
Now I have Wolfenstein. It's 75 gigs.
Jeez. All
right. So now this is creating a problem. I don't know whether it's going to lead to people finding new ways of compressing games or cloud gaming.
Yeah.
There are more people are opting for cloud gaming because the gaming itself is actually more. As becoming more and more expensive, you're going to need better hardware, newer hardware. If you're a PC, you're going to need more powerful hardware to run these new demanding
graphics
games.
Cards,
and it's really,
more RAM.
Really expensive. And it's led to people creating, like, NVIDIA Shield, these cloud gaming services where you can rent a really good gaming computer for, like, a month for a certain price. And put your Steam library on it.
Pretty cool. That's actually interesting. We should actually discuss the story a lot more in the next episode or so. That's actually a very interesting idea. And I think we should actually stick with gaming and go to what I think is the biggest story in the world. well, outside of Zimbabwe as well. Biggest story that happened this week in the rest of the world.
This week, but then the last month. It's actually the last month.
Okay, let's just say the month.
Because it gradually built up.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about EA Battlefront 2. We'll be right back.
Capital 263.
So the thing that's currently happening is that...
Yeah. We're back, by the way.
Yeah.
Forgot to say that.
Well, it's actually not Battlefront 2. It's actually the whole EA thing. Well, the thing...
Let's just say that if this was a war, okay, Star Wars Battlefront 2 would be the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, for those who do history.
Yeah. There were smaller events that happened, like last month, the shutting down of Visceral Games.
Oh,
Visceral
yes.
Visceral Games, the guys that made Dead Space, the Dead Space series, and now they're working on a Star Wars game. And this is what happened.
Let's just forget that they also made Battlefield Hardline.
I liked it. I don't know. People hated it, but I liked it. It was a different
game. I didn't understand that game.
Well, Battlefield already had a corny story.
It did. Oh, it
does. I really didn't have high expectations for it.
I felt like it was trying too hard to be a mix of Battlefield and SWAT. If you ever played SWAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So EA has been getting a lot of lashback for...
Deservedly.
Yeah, doing a lot of things. Firstly, they shut down Visceral Games, which was a gaming studio, which was under them. And EA, in its lifetime, has shut down about 20 gaming studios. Did you actually know that?
Yes, I've heard. Because confirmed they also shut down the studio that made Mirror Edge.
Yes.
Oh, it's so sad.
This is because Visceral Games was working on a single-player campaign, and they're saying single-player campaigns don't have a place in this world anymore, and which led to... You know, other developers like Rocksteady jumping into the story and saying single player campaigns actually have somewhere to go. And EA is not doing this because they think multiplayer is the future. They're actually doing this because they benefit more from multiplayer.
That's right.
So an analyst, game analyst. Because
people would play more when it's multiplayer. And if they have microtransactions, people would buy more.
Yeah. A games analyst say that, you know, multiplayer games are not resellable. Yeah, they're not DRM free. And so, if you sell a single player game, the first week sales are going to be booming. People are going to be buying. But what happens when those people that bought the game the first week finish the game? They're going to resell it or like just get rid of it, and the lobbies are going to go down.
Or if you're on a single player, the
most cash the most cash you're going to get from that is microtransactions, selling DLC. So now they're taking a games as a service approach.
Oh yeah, software as a service. It's such a buzzword
That's what they're actually doing, and they got a lot of flashback for this. They think that gaming is a service, and through this they're trying to make as much cash as possible from gaming. So, and like recently they shut down Visceral Games because they were saying, "Kuti, Your single player campaign needs to be the next FIFA." You know what I mean?
As in people need to be continuously playing it and stuff. And
no, as in FIFA makes $10 billion.
Oh, money wise.
Yeah,
oh,
money wise. From transactions. Not usually the game itself, but from transactions
in Ultimate
the game.
Team.
People buying game player cards and blah blah blah. I mean, like, people want Ronaldo. They're not gonna get him, obviously.
And do you know how mainly? I mean, I don't play Ultimate Team, but do you know how mainly they get those kind of players, those kind of cards?
Huh?
They buy card packs, and you don't know what's in the card pack until you open it.
And you keep on buying it until you want.
Until you get Ronaldo, yeah.
So this was what was happening, and
what do we call that, Gary? Using money to attempt something and then keep doing that until it's successful.
Gambling.
There we go, gambling. So that's where the main issue is. Whether or not what's happening with Star Wars Battlefront 2 is gambling. So in short, basically what they've done is that they've introduced this game, new game. They've said, it's ridiculous, they've said that we've listened to the community and the constructive criticism. And we're looking to improve the game. They brought Battlefront 2, and guess what? Loot boxes everywhere. Gary, what's a loot box?
A loot box is a box with in-game content. Well, this might be skins, extra guns, weapons, and all those things. But then you have to buy these things from the game store. And these loot boxes actually...
You don't buy the things, people. You buy the box.
The box. It's and like you don't know what's in the box.
There we go.
And this leads to people spending hundreds, thousands...
Thousands of dollars, yeah.
Thousands of dollars. For example, in Pretty Good Gaming, they interviewed a guy. Guess how much that guy has spent on gaming?
Well,
buying in-game loot boxes.
I don't know, what, $500?
Upwards of $40,000.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot. That is a lot of money. $40,000?
Yeah, and the guy is a regular working guy. No, it's not even like a rich guy.
Rich guy.
Well, so he's blowing his life savings on...
There was a Japanese firm, I think, or guy, who basically did a little science experiment, interestingly enough. And he found out that you either need to play the game for about 43,000 hours... Was yeah, 43,000 hours
to get all the
characters. To get in Star Wars Battlefront 2 to get all the characters, everything, or you can spend $2,100.
Well, yeah, I actually saw that. Well, I saw it for one. I saw the stats for one player. To get Luke Skywalker, you need to either play 40 hours.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, both 40 hour. It's ridiculous. And the question is this what gaming is coming to? You know, EA brought out the game, they had the early access. I mean, look, Battlefront 2 was a game that was highly hyped. Like No Man's Sky. It had a lot of hype. But the minute people started playing the game, unlike No Man's Sky,
people
which was...
People hated it.
You know, No Man's Sky, at least when it came out, I remember we talked about it. It was that kind of situation where it came out, people were like hyping it. Then other people were like, guys, let's not really hype it too much. Yeah. It seems to have problems. No, no, no. Battlefront had a lot of hype out of the gate. Until the game hit. Beta came out, people were like, what is this? The early access came out, people were like, what is this?
And to make matters worse,
yeah,
EA is actually trying to defend itself on Reddit by issuing a statement. And they got the most downvoted comment in Reddit history.
Think of downvotes as dislikes. If you,
it had how many?
Minus 630,000.
It's now 600. Last time I checked, it was 500.
I know, I've been checking. It's 600,000. And for context, the most disliked, the three most disliked comments on Reddit at the time before this whole debacle stood at about minus 20,000, minus 30,000, and minus 50,000.
And one of them was actually a guy asking people, for how downvotes, many downvotes can I get?
It's ridiculous, because that's what happens on Reddit. People always do those kind of funny things. And like someone asked for that. The other guy was some dude who was involved in, I don't know, it was like some sort of horrible conspiracy. It was a criminal of some sort. And, you know, you're looking at the people that were being compared to, and it was ridiculous. And, you know, what was the actual comment? Someone asked them, how can you justify that I spend 40 hours trying to unlock one character? EA's response was, we want to give the players a sense of pride and achievement.
Fulfillment. Yeah, exactly.
What kind of answer is that? How can you come to me as a gamer and tell me that you want to give me a sense of pride and achievement and want me to spend 40 hours? 40 hours. Not like you're spending 40 hours enjoying
40
the game.
40 hours grinding for one character. One character, not even leveling up your other characters.
No.
Buying in-game things with in-game currency.
Character.
And, you know, this got so serious that even people are talking, you know, like, yeah, about the British Parliament talking about gambling and loot crates. And
I heard about the Belgian ones.
It was actually brought up in the Parliament. People were talking about this. This is how serious it is. Because at the end of the day, these game developers, especially EA, Activision, well, Activision has done something like this to some extent, but then...
But I remember it didn't get as much coverage.
Yeah, with EA, it's brutal. You know, they are trying to make money. They actually get more money from loot crates and everything than they actually get
from that $60.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, Parliament in Britain today, I mean, not today, but like when they did discuss, it's like these guys went up and said, hey, let's talk about the situation in Zimbabwe. And then it's like, okay, fantastic. Now let's talk about EA. That is how big this problem actually is. And I don't know. Like, we've had this thing for a while. I remember there was a controversy about Counter-Strike and the skins.
Yeah.
The gambling that happened there.
Well.
And now we have EA.
And it's so serious that, it's so serious that the sales for Battlefront are tanking.
And they should. They should be tanking. And if you get a government, not an ESRB kind of self-regulatory or body or anything. No, 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 no. An actual sovereign government to stand up and say, we're going to investigate what's going on here. Then you know that there's something actually wrong.
In EA's defense, they were saying that, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. Like one of the guys there was truthful. It's a business at the end of the day. Because these guys actually have investors.
That's
right. In Wall Street, like the shares for EA dropped
by about 2%.
2%.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that scary considering that EA has already made a growth of about 45%.
Yeah, it's a big company.
But, at the rate they're going, they're killing studios. They're getting dislikes. And, you know, this is a really terrible place for them because they're killing their own reputation. I mean,
well, their reputation was already kind of dead.
It's already dead. Yeah. And well, Activision is trying to learn from their lessons with Call of Duty World War II, but then this is very unacceptable.
But I think what the problem, at least for me, is the fact that this is just, yes, I understand that it's a business, Gary, and I do understand that they need to make money. But, and look, I'm the biggest capitalist you'll know, but, you know, you can't try and take advantage of people's, like, livelihoods. Because gambling is serious, you know. If it was just, like, they were trying to make money in a shady way, we could argue. But then when you start making it, like, this is about gambling, this is about exploiting people, we need to take a different stance altogether. And I think this is it's a good thing that people are complaining. It's a good thing that their stock is going down. It's a very good thing that the Disney CEO had to actually call the EA CEO and ask him, what is going on? Please, can you cancel this? And like, from as far as I know, at the moment, they've already agreed to remove suspend all microtransactions for now.
Yeah, they have actually suspended all microtransactions in Battlefield 1.
Battlefront.
And they're reworking the microtransactions in Need for Speed because people are also clapping back for that.
For that as well.
Yeah, because, all right, you know, why would you pay extra money in a game after paying $60? You know, if it was a free-to-play game, it would be justified. Yeah, exactly. It would be justified because the studio needs to make money in some way.
Mm.
But then, let's say that somebody already paid $60, $70, $80 for a game. Because now developers are now looking for extra ways to make money. Like, look at
I don't think it's developers. I think developers try to make good games, and they make great games. I think publishers, even for Battlefront, this same game, Battlefront 2, they made the campaign, and I believe I heard that it was actually a fantastic single-player campaign, until EA got it, the publishers, and they said, no, we need to make money out of this. And that's when they proceeded to add and forced them to add all the microtransactions and loot boxes and loot crates and all that crap that people don't want. So I think the issue is that let's not criticize good publishers making great games. Let's criticize the publishers trying to publish horrible games, because it's them who've been going around doing this.
Yeah, the publishers always gets to the studio because they, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are helping with publishing the game. They're the ones with the investors, the cash, all of that. And this has led people to some developers to go, you know, independent. Recently, I forgot the name of the studio. How embarrassing. Basically, the guys that made Hitman went indie. So they went
losing me as well. I think I should know it, but it's really losing me.
So they went independent from Square Enix because these publishers are always trying to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
For example, the thing that happened with Shadow of War, whereby the end game, the actual ending of the game was logged behind a loot box war, and you had to pay.
Yes, I heard about this.
Yeah, buy content, you know, legendary orcs and all those legendary characters to actually find the ending of the game.
Horrible. That's terrible.
Or you could just grind an extra 16 hours in the game.
16 hours?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, developers are right now are looking for much more conniving ways to make money. For example, you know how the standard for gaming was, buying a game was $60. Then maybe the Game of the Year award, the Game of the Year edition would be like...
What are those special editions? Yeah, like 70 double or something boxes like and that. Stuff. Yeah.
So now games are getting the standard edition, the...
Ultimate edition.
The platinum, the ultimate.
FIFA have an ultimate edition.
For example, like what Warner Bros. Did with... Shadow of War, and that's just greed, you know, like people are looking for ways to make money, and you know,
and you can see this is not coming out of necessity, like, oh no, games are getting more expensive to make, so we need to make more money. It's more of a, we want to just make more money.
You know, game studios don't even pay regular taxes. Like, they don't.
Really?
Yes, they don't pay regular taxes. They pay taxes after a certain amount of time.
That's actually very interesting. I didn't know that.
So at the end of the day, the argument that it's expensive to make games is a lie.
And, well, that's what EA have been very low-key trying to perpetrate to people, that, you know, it's getting more expensive to make
EA
games.
EA is already making billions of dollars per year.
They're growing, yeah.
From Sims, let's see.
Sims, Madden, FIFA.
FIFA last year made $10 billion. Sims makes billions of dollars. Battlefront, well, when it came out, it made billions of dollars. Yeah. Even though it's, yeah.
Even Battlefield.
Battlefield. All those games are making millions of dollars.
Billions, yeah.
And they're forcing people to fork out money, whether they want it or not. Even, like, in Need for Speed, it's a $60 game.
Mm.
You have, there's other loot crate that goes for $60.
So you're buying a loot crate within a game for the price of the game. Yeah, it's quite depressing talking about EA, because it's the biggest problem isn't what they're doing. Like, okay, look, I could one day wake up in the morning and say I'm selling my phone for $2,000. What would be the biggest saddest thing is if people bought my phone for $2,000. And that's the problem. People are actually buying the games. No one cares. Like, new gamers are saying, oh, you know, those guys need to make money. They're actually defending them. That is the saddest part to me.
Yeah, and it's really sad. But then, now people are starting a new thing whereby they are boycotting
EA altogether. And
popular, yeah, YouTubers are actually doing that, like NR7. I don't know if you guys know her. She's a cool chick.
Yeah. NR7.
Yeah, she plays mainly EA games like Mass Effect, Dragon Age. Well, she actually was a good fan.
Dragon
like
Age,
a loyal fan of EA until last week.
You see, even loyal fans are leaving. When you get your fangirls leaving you, you know that you're doing
like,
bad.
Her channel was actually dependent on EA. Like, EA is the reason why she's actually popular.
And why she's a YouTuber.
Because she mainly plays EA games.
Yeah, and we'll put a wrap on that on EA. And when we return, we'll take it back home and talk about everything that has been happening in tech in Zimbabwe.
So guys, please, I know this might sound weird, please boycott this. Let's just
Oh, you still want to
let's just protest.
Okay, yeah. I'll let Gary have his last word about EA.
We should not support stuff like this. I know you still don't care. You're all going to go out there and buy, but hey, just listen.
Pro Evolution Soccer is a choice, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, we just have to conclude now. Gary, where can they find you?
Okay, you can find me on Facebook at Gary Tendai Manuel or Twitter at Gary Tendai.
You're on Twitter now?
Yes, I recently joined Twitter.
Woo! Congratulations, man. Welcome.
I was on Twitter, but I deactivated the account.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got trolled? You got bullied?
No, it just wasn't my thing then. But
welcome back, yeah.
On Instagram at Hugo the Slum God. Hugo the Slum God. Not Slum God, but Slum God.
Slum like the place, not slump like.
Yes.
What does slump even mean? Anyways, if you have any questions, answers, petitions, partitions, complaints, anything you have, contact Gary on those social media handles. Contact me on I am Dion Spring on Twitter. Do not ask me why it's Spring. And you can also find the podcast on Technology FM. That's Technology FM on both Twitter and Facebook. And if you're so inclined, you can also check out the podcast network, the fantastic podcast network, Capital 263. That's on Twitter and Facebook. That's Capital 263. You'll find it lovely. And listen, here's what I'm saying to you guys. Try out some other podcasts on the network as well. There's some great stuff. If you have all of a sudden, like if you're in Zimbabwe especially, and you just been witnessing the current state of events in the country concerning politics, and you're thinking, I want to hear people discuss about this. I know some three great guys who are and girls who are talking about this, and that's on Politics and Beyond. It's a great podcast. Give it a try. Nayonai and the other guys is also a funny one with this guy called Onai about social issues. And if you like hip hop, can always try Keep It Real Fridays.
And Mike's It Match for sports.
Yeah, exactly. If you love soccer, rugby, cricket, all the sports, Mike's It Match are your guys. And yeah, that is the end of the podcast. Next episode, we'll talk about what's happening in next week. And of course, we will bring it as soon as we can. And yeah, guys, let us know if you want to be on the WhatsApp group. Like, we have a WhatsApp group. And if you're interested, let us know. We'll throw people in there. And we'd love to have people involved. Bye-bye.
And now. Capital 263.